Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This bounty hunter is about to share some wild secrets about the Deep South that you won't believe. I've been chasing bad folks for going on 20 years now. Seen just about every kind of low-life scum you could imagine in this line of work. But I ain't never seen nothing like I stumbled into last Tuesday. Name's Jebediah Hawkins. Most folks around these parts just call me Jeb. I run a bail bonds business out of Tupelo, Mississippi. Been doing it since I got out of the army back in 03. Ain't glamorous work, but it pays the bills and keeps me busy. It was a scorcher of a day when Maybell, my secretary, buzzed me on the intercom.
Jeb, you got a call on line 2. Says it's urgent.
I picked up the receiver, my worn leather chair creaking under my weight. Hawkins Bail Bonds, this is Jeb speaking. The voice on the other end was shaken, something fierce.
Mr. Hawkins, this is Sheriff Buford down in Yazoo City. We got a situation, and I heard you're the man to call.
Now, Yazoo City ain't exactly in my usual stomping grounds. But business had been slow lately, and I was itching for some action. What kind of situation we talking about, Sheriff?
Got a fella skip bail last night. Really nasty piece of work. Name's Lyle Jennings. He was in for aggravated assault, but we suspect he might be involved in something a whole lot worse.
I leaned back in my chair, twirling a pencil between my fingers. What makes this one so special, Sheriff? Sounds like a pretty standard skip to me. There was a long pause on the other end of the line. When Buford spoke again, his voice was barely above a whisper.
Mr. Hawkins, I'm gonna level with you. We think Jennings might be connected to a string of disappearances in the area. Can't prove nothing yet, but, well, let's just say I'd sleep a whole lot better with him back behind bars.
Now that piqued my interest. All right, Sheriff, I'm listening. What can you tell me about this Jennings fella? For the next half hour, Sheriff Buford filled me in on Lyle Jennings. 42 years old, ex-military, dishonorable discharge. Last known address was a rundown trailer park on the outskirts of Yazoo City. He had a rap sheet longer than my arm, mostly bar fights and petty theft. But there was something about him that made my skin crawl. By the time that I hung up the phone, I had already made up my mind. This was going to be my next job, come hell or high water. I spent the rest of the day getting ready. Cleaned my trusty Remington 870, packed a bag with enough supplies for a few days on the road, and did some digging on Jennings. By the time the sun was setting, I was behind the wheel of my beat-up Ford F-150 headed south towards Yazoo City. The drive gave me plenty of time to think. Something about this case wasn't sitting right with me. Why would a small-town sheriff reach out to a bounty hunter 3 counties over? And what was the deal with these disappearances he mentioned? I rolled down the window, letting the warm Mississippi night air wash over me. The radio crackled with some Johnny Cash tune, and I found myself humming along as the miles ticked by. It was well past midnight when I pulled into Yazoo City. The streets were dead quiet, nothing moving but the occasional stray cat or possum. I found a cheap motel on the edge of town and checked in for the night, figuring I'd have a fresh start in the morning. Sleep didn't come easy, though. I tossed and turned, my mind racing with thoughts of Lyle Jennings and whatever dark secrets he might be hiding. When the first light of dawn started peeking through the threadbare curtains, I was already up and moving. I threw on my clothes, strapped on my shoulder holster, and headed out to meet Sheriff Buford. The Yazoo City Sheriff's Office was a squat brick building that looked like it hadn't had a fresh coat of paint since the Carter administration. I pushed through the creaky front door. The smell of stale coffee and cigarettes hit me like a wall. Sheriff Buford was a big man, easily north of 300 pounds, with a thick gray mustache and deep-set eyes that looked like they had seen too much. He stood up when I walked in, extending a meaty hand. "Mr. Hawkins, I presume? Glad you could make it on such short notice." I took his hand, noticing the way his eyes darted around the room, never quite meeting mine. "Call me Deb, Sheriff. Now, why don't you tell me what's really going on here?" Buford's face fell, and he gestured for me to follow him into his office. He closed the door behind us and sank into his chair with a heavy sigh. "Jeb, I'm going to be straight with you. This Jennings fella, he ain't some kind of run-of-the-mill skip. We think he might be involved in something real bad, something that goes way beyond Yazoo City." I leaned forward, my interest piqued. "What kind of something, Sheriff?" Buford reached into his desk drawer and pulled out a thick manila folder. He slid it across the desk to me. "Over the past 18 months, we've had 6 people gone missing in around Yazoo City. No bodies, no ransom demands, just gone." I flipped open the folder, my eyes scanning over missing person reports, grainy photographs, and pages of handwritten notes. "And you think this Jennings is behind this?" The sheriff shrugged. "Can't say for certain, but he's our best lead. He was seen talking to 2 of the victims shortly before they disappeared, and there's something else." Buford trailed off, his eyes fixed on something outside the window. I waited, but he didn't continue. "What is it, Sheriff?" I prompted. He turned back to me, his face ashen. "We found something at his trailer when we picked him up for the assault charge. Something that didn't make a lick of sense." "Well, don't keep me in suspense," I said, starting to get impatient. Buford reached into the folder and pulled out a photograph. He hesitated for a moment before handing it to me. This was hidden under a loose floorboard in Jennings' bedroom. I took the photo, and for a moment, I couldn't make sense of what I was seeing. It looked like a jumble of lines and shapes at first, but as my eyes adjusted, I realized I was looking at a map, but not like any map I had ever seen before. It showed Yazoo City and the surrounding area, but there were strange symbols and markings all over it. Red X's marked several locations, and there were lines connecting them in a pattern that made my head hurt to look at. "What in tarnation is this?" I muttered, more to myself than to the sheriff. Buford leaned back in his chair, his face grim. "That's what we've been trying to figure out, Jeb. But I'll tell you this much, those red X's, they correspond exactly to where our missing persons were last seen." A chill ran down my spine as I studied the map more closely. There was something unnatural about it, something that made my skin crawl. I had seen some strange things in my years as a bounty hunter, but this was different. "Sheriff," I said, my voice low, "what exactly have you gotten me into?" Buford's eyes met mine, and for the first time, I saw real fear there. "I wish I knew, Jeb. I truly wish I knew." I spent the next few hours going over everything the sheriff had on Lyle Jennings and the missing person cases. The more I learned, the less sense it all made. Jennings had no apparent connection to most of the victims, no clear motive, and no history of this kind of behavior. But that map was the key to something. I could feel it in my bones. As the sun started to set, I decided it was time to pay a visit to Jennings' last known address. The trailer park was on the outskirts of town, a collection of rusted-out mobile homes and overgrown lots. Jennings' trailer was at the very back, half hidden by a stand of scraggly pines. I approached cautiously, my hand rested on the butt of my pistol. The place looked abandoned, windows dark and curtains drawn. I knocked on the door, more out of habit than any expectation of an answer. "Lyle Jennings, this is Jebediah Hawkins. I'm here to talk to you about your missing court date." Silence. I tried the door handle, and to my surprise, it turned easily. The door swung open with the creak, revealing a dark interior. "Mr. Jennings?" I called out, my voice echoing in the empty space. I stepped inside, my eyes adjusted to the gloom. The place was a mess, clothes strewn about, dirty dishes piled in the sink, and a smell that made me wrinkle my nose in disgust. But it was what I saw on the far wall that made my blood run cold. It was that damned map again, but this time it was huge, covering nearly the entire wall. Red string connected various points, and there were photographs and newspaper clippings tackled all over it. I moved closer, my heart pounding in my chest. The photos were of people, men, women, even a couple of kids. Some I recognized from the missing persons reports, but others were unfamiliar. And then I saw it. In the center of the map, written in what looked like disturbingly like dried blood, were the words, "The pattern must be completed." I stumbled back, my mind reeling. What in God's name have I stumbled into? That's when I heard it. A soft sound, almost like a whisper, coming from somewhere in the trailer. I froze, straining my ears. There it was again. It sounded like someone crying. I drew my pistol, moving slowly towards the source of the sound. It seemed to be coming from a closed door at the end of a narrow hallway. My hand shook as I reached for the doorknob. Every instinct I had was screaming at me to turn tail and run, but I couldn't. Not if there was even a chance someone needed help. I took a deep breath, steadied my gun, and threw open the door. What I saw inside that room will haunt me for the rest of my days. It was a child, a little girl no more than 7 or 8 years old. She was huddled in the corner, her arms wrapped around her knees, rocking back and forth. But that wasn't the worst of it. No, the worst part were the symbols. They were carved into her skin, covering every visible inch of her body. The same strange symbols I had seen on that map. When she looked up at me, her eyes were wild with terror. "Please," she whimpered. "Please don't let him finish the pattern." I holstered my gun and approached her slowly, my hands held out in front of me. "It's okay, sweetheart. I'm here to help. Can you tell me your name?" She shook her head at me violently. "No names. He says names have power. He'll find me if I say it." My mind was racing. Who was he? Jennings? Or something else? I knelt down beside her, careful not to touch her. "Okay, that's all right. You don't have to say your name. Can you tell me how long you've been here?" The girl's eyes darted around the room, as if she expected someone to jump out at any moment.
"Days? Weeks? I don't know. He comes and goes, brings others sometimes."
A chill ran down my spine. "Others? You mean other children?" She shook her head again.
"No, grown-ups. He does things to them. Terrible things. And then they go away and they don't come back."
I felt sick to my stomach. This was something much worse than anything I had imagined. Listen to me, sweetheart. I'm going to get you out of here, okay? But first, I need the call for help. I reached for my cell phone, but before I could dial, the girl let out a terrified shriek.
No, you can't. He'll know. He always knows.
I tried to calm her down, but it was no use. She was hysterical, screaming and thrashing about. I had no choice but to try to restrain her, worried that she may hurt herself. That's when I felt it. A sudden sharp pain in my arm. I looked down to see a small syringe sticking out of my bicep, the plunger fully depressed. The room started to spin, and I stumbled backwards. The last thing I saw before everything went black was a little girl's face, twisted into a cruel smile that no child should ever wear.
Silly man, she said, her voice suddenly cold and flat. Don't you know? The pattern must be completed.
And then the darkness took me. I don't know how long I was out. Could have been hours, could have been days. When I finally came to, I found myself in a place that defied description. It was like no room I had ever seen before. The walls, floor, and ceiling seemed to shift and move, covered in those same damn symbols I had seen on the map and carved into the little girl's skin. They glowed with an eerie, pulsating light that hurt my eyes to look at. I tried to move, but my arms and legs were bound tight to some kind of chair. The ropes bit into my skin as I struggled, but it was no use. I was well and truly stuck. That's when I heard footsteps approaching. Slow, deliberate steps that echoed through the impossible space around me. A figure emerged from the writhing shadows. It was Lyle Jennings, but not as I had expected him to look. He was gaunt, almost skeletal, with sunken eyes that gleamed with an unnatural light.
Well, well,
he said, his voice a dry rasp that sent shivers down my spine.
Looks like our guest of honor is finally awake.
I tried to speak, but my mouth was dry as cotton. I managed to croak out a single word.
Why?
Jennings laughed, a sound like bones rattling in a box.
Why? Oh, Mr. Hawkins, if you only knew. The pattern, you see, it must be completed.
He started pacing around me, his fingers tracing the symbols on the walls as he moved.
You humans, you think you understand the world, but you don't. You can't. There are forces at work beyond your comprehension, patterns woven into the very fabric of reality.
I watched him, my mind reeling. This man wasn't just a criminal. He was completely, utterly insane.
What pattern?
I managed to ask, my voice hoarse. Jennings stopped in front of me, his eyes boring into mine.
The pattern that will reshape the world, Mr. Hawkins. The pattern that will bring forth beings of unimaginable power. And you, my friend, are going to help me complete it.
He reached into his pocket and pulled out a wicked-looking knife, its blade etched with more of those arcane symbols.
Now,
he said, a sick smile spreading across his face.
Shall we begin?
As Jennings approached me with that knife, I felt a fear unlike anything I had ever experienced before. This wasn't the kind of danger I was used to, not run-of-the-mill criminal or bail jumper. This was something else entirely, something that threatened to shatter everything I thought I knew about the world. But I'm Jebediah Hawkins, goddammit. I faced down drug dealers, murderers, and worse. I wasn't about to let this lunatic get the best of me. I summoned every ounce of strength I had left and started working on the ropes binding my wrists. They were tight, but whoever had tied them hadn't done the best job. I could feel a little give, a little slack.
You're making a big mistake, Jenkins,
I growled, trying to keep his attention on my face and away from my wrists.
Whatever you think you're doing here, it ain't gonna work out the way you want it to.
Jennings paused, that eerie smile still plastered on his face.
Oh, Mr. Hawkins, you have no idea what I want or what I'm capable of achieving. This is much more bigger than you could possibly imagine.
He leaned in close, close enough that I could smell his rancid breath.
Do you want to know what happens to those missing people, Jeb? Do you want to know why I chose them?
I didn't, not really, but I needed to keep him talking. My fingers were working overtime, slowly but surely loosening the knots behind my back.
Why don't you tell me, Lyle? Enlighten me.
His eyes lit up with a fever that chilled me to the bone.
They were special, Jeb. Each one had a unique energy signature, a specific vibration that resonated with the pattern. When I harvested them, their essence strengthened the design.
I felt sick to my stomach, but I pressed on.
And the little girl? What's her part in all this?
Jennings laughed, a sound that echoed unnaturally in the shifting room.
Ah, you met our little Serene. Clever trick, wasn't it? Children make the best bait. So innocent, so trustworthy, but she's much more than that. She's a conduit, a living anchor for the pattern.
As he spoke, I felt the ropes give way just a little more. Just a little bit longer, I told myself. Keep him talking.
So, what's the end game here, Lyle? What happens when you complete this pattern of yours?
His face contorted into an expression of rapturous joy.
When the pattern is complete, the veil between worlds will be torn apart. Beings of unimaginable power will walk the earth once more, and those of us who helped to bring them forth will be rewarded beyond our wildest dreams.
I snorted, trying to mask my growing panic with derision.
Sounds like a bunch of hogwash to me. You sure you ain't just gone off the deep end, son?
Jennings' eyes narrowed dangerously.
You doubt me? Perhaps a demonstration is in order.
He raised the knife, its blade catching the sickly light of the symbols on the walls. As he did, I felt something change in the air around us. It was like a pressure building, a tension that made my skin crawl and my hair stand on end.
The symbols on the walls began to pulse faster, their glow intensifying. And then, to my horror, they started to move. Crawling across the surfaces like living things, rearranging themselves into new and terrifying configurations. Jennings began the chant in a language I had never heard before, his voice rising to a fever pitch. The knife in his hand started to glow with the same eerie light as the symbols. I knew I was out of time. It was now or never. With a final desperate effort, I wrenched my hands free from the loosened ropes. In one fluid motion, born from years of training and instinct, I surged forward out of the chair, tackling Jennings to the ground. We hit the floor hard, grappling for control of the knife. Jennings was stronger than he looked, driven by a manic energy that seemed inhuman. But I had weight and experience on my side. As we struggled, I became aware of the growing rumble like distant thunder. The air around us crackled with an otherworldly energy, and from the corner of my eye, I could see the symbols on the walls going haywire, swirling and pulsing in a dizzying frenzy.
You fool!
Jennings screamed, his face contorted with rage.
You'll doom us all!
I managed to get a hand on his wrist, slamming it against the floor until he dropped the knife.
The only one getting doomed today is you, you crazy son of a bitch!
With a final surge of strength, I pinned him to the ground, my knee on his chest and my hands around his throat.
It's over, Lyle. Whatever sick game you've been playing, it ends now.
But even as I said the words, I knew it wasn't true. The rumbling had grown to a deafening roar, and the very air seemed to be tearing apart around us. Through the chaos, I heard a sound that turned my blood to ice, a child's laughter, high and cruel. I looked up to see the little girl standing in the doorway, her scarred skin glowing with the same light as the symbols.
"Too late,"
she said, her voice somehow cutting through the din.
"The pattern is complete."
And then, with a sound like reality itself being ripped in two, everything went white. When my vision cleared, I found myself lying on the floor of Jennings' trailer, my head pounding and my body aching like I had gone 10 rounds with a grizzly bear. Jennings was unconscious beside me, his breathing shallow but steady. The wall that had been covered in that insane map was now blank, not a trace of the madness I had witnessed. The symbols, the photographs, all of it, gone without a trace. I staggered to my feet, my mind reeling. Had it all been some kind of hallucination? A trick of whatever drug I had been injected with? But deep down, I knew that wasn't the case. Something had happened here, something that defied explanation. And somehow, I had a feeling it was far from over. I fumbled for my cell phone, my fingers shaking as I dialed Sheriff Buford's number. It rang once, twice, before he picked up.
"Jeb, that you? Where in tarnation have you been? We've been looking all over for you."
I took a deep breath, trying to steady myself. "Sheriff, I found Jennings. You're going to want to get down here and bring backup, lots of it." There was a pause on the other end of the line. When Buford spoke again, his words were deadly serious.
"Jeb, what happened out there?"
I looked around the trailer at the unconscious form of Lyle Jennings, at the blank wall that I knew that held secrets beyond human understanding. "I'm not sure, Sheriff, but I think it's just the beginning." As I waited for Buford and his deputies to arrive, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had stumbled into something much bigger and more dangerous than I could have ever imagined. The pattern, whatever it was, had been completed. And now, God help us, we'd all have to deal with the consequences. I sank down onto Jennings' couch, my mind racing. What had I really seen in that impossible room? What were those symbols? And what kind of power did they hold? And most importantly, what had been unleashed when the pattern was completed? I knew one thing for certain. My life would never be the same after this. I had crossed the line, seen things no man was meant to see. And something told me that this was just the first chapter in a much longer, much darker story. As I heard the distant wail of police sirens approaching, I steeled myself for what was to come. Whatever horrors laid ahead, whatever nightmares had been in motion, I knew I'd have to face them head on. Because if I didn't, who would? The bounty hunter in me had always sought justice, tracked down those who had broken the law. But now I realized I was on the trail of something far more sinister. Something that threatened not just the peace of Yazoo City, but perhaps the very fabric of reality itself. I looked over at Jennings' still form, wondering what secrets laid locked in his twisted mind. Whatever came next, I knew he'd be the key to unraveling this mystery. And I'd be damned if I let him out of my sight until I got to the bottom of it all. As the first police car pulled up outside, its lights painted the walls of the trailer an alternating red and blue, I took a deep breath and stood up. It was time to face the music, to try to explain the unexplainable to Sheriff Buford and whoever else might be listening. But even as I prepared to tell my story, I couldn't shake the feeling that this was just the beginning. The pattern had been completed, and whatever dark forces it had awakened were now loose in the world. And somehow, some way, I knew it would fall to me to stop them. As the door to the trailer burst open, Sheriff Buford and his deputies flooded in, guns drawn. The look of shock on their faces when they saw me standing there, battered and bruised, but very much alive, was almost comical.
"Jeb!" Buford gasped, lowering his weapon. "What in the Sam Hill happened here?"
I gestured to Jennings' unconscious form on the floor.
"Got our man, Sheriff. Though I reckon this is just the tip of the iceberg."
The next few hours were a blur of questions, statements, and examinations. paramedics checked me over, declaring me miraculously unharmed, save for some cuts and bruises. Jennings was hauled off to the county hospital under armed guard. As the crime scene techs combed through the trailer, I pulled Sheriff Buford aside. "We need to talk, Sheriff, somewhere private." He nodded, his face grim. "My office, 1 hour." The ride back to the sheriff's station was quiet, my mind still reeling from everything that had just happened. I knew I had to tell Buford the truth, no matter how crazy it sounded. But would he believe me? Hell, I wasn't sure if I believed it myself. True to his word, an hour later I found myself sitting across from Sheriff Buford in his office, the door locked and the blinds drawn. "All right, Jeb," he said, leaning back in his chair. "I've known you long enough to know when something's eating at you. What really happened out there?" I took a deep breath and began the talk. I told him everything. The strange map, the little girl who wasn't what she seemed, the impossible room with its writhing symbols. I told him about Jennings' ravings, about this pattern and being from another world. To his credit, Buford listened without interruption, his face growing more troubled with each passing minute. When I finally finished, he was silent for a long moment. "Jeb," he said at last, his voice low and serious. "If this was coming from anyone else, I'd say they had lost their damn mind, but I know you. You ain't the type to make up stories or see things that ain't there." He stood up, pacing behind his desk. "Thing is, this ain't the first time I've heard whispers of something like this. Over the years, there have been incidents. Things that don't add up, that can't be explained away." My ears perked up at that. "What kind of incidents, Sheriff?" Buford sighed, rubbing a hand over his face. "Disappearances like the ones I told you about, but also strange sightings, unexplained phenomena. Folks talking about seeing things that couldn't possibly be real. Most of the time, we write it off as hoaxes or people letting their imaginations run wild, but now..." He trailed off, looking out the window at the quiet streets of Yazoo City. "Now I'm wondering if maybe we've been ignoring something we shouldn't have." I leaned forward in my chair. "So what do we do now, Sheriff? We can't just pretend this didn't happen." Buford turned back to me, his eyes hard with determination. "No, we can't. But we also can't go public with this, not without concrete evidence. People would think we lost our minds." He sat back down, folding his hands on his desk. "Here's what we're gonna do. Officially, Lau Jennings is going down for assault and kidnapping. We'll keep him locked up tight while we investigate further. Unofficially, well, that's where you come in, Jeb." I raised an eyebrow. "What do you have in mind?" "I want you to dig deeper into this. Use your contacts, your skills as a bounty hunter. See if you can find any connections to similar cases. Any patterns that might shed light on what Jennings was really up to." I nodded slowly, my mind already racing with possibilities. "And what about the girl? The one who was with Jennings?" Buford's face darkened. "No sign of her. It's like she vanished into thin air. But we'll keep looking." As I stood to leave, Buford called out one last time. "Jeb, be careful. If even half of what you saw is real, well, you might be stepping into something bigger and more dangerous than either of us can imagine." I tipped my hat at him. "Don't worry, Sheriff. I faced down some mean sons of bitches in my time. Whatever's out there, I'll find it." But as I walked out of the sheriff's office and into the warm Mississippi night, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was about to embark on the most dangerous hunt of my life. The pattern had been completed, and something had been set in motion. Something dark, something ancient, something that threatened everything I held dear. I climbed into my truck, the engine rumbling to life. As I pulled out onto the empty street, I made a silent vow. Whatever it took, however long it took, I would get to the bottom of this mystery. I will find out what Lyle Jennings had unleashed upon this world. And God help me, I would stop it. The headlights cut through the darkness as I headed out of Yazoo City, the night stretching out before me like an open book. I don't know where this road would lead, but I knew one thing for certain. Nothing would ever be the same again. The hunt was on, and the stakes had never been higher. Whatever came next, I was ready to face it head on, because sometimes the only way out is through. And I had a feeling that before this was all over, I'd be going through hell itself. As the lights of Yazoo City faded in my rearview mirror, I couldn't help but wonder what other secrets were hiding in the shadows of the Deep South. And more importantly, was I truly prepared for what I might find? The road stretched out before me, dark and full of possibility. Whatever lay ahead, I knew one thing for certain. The real adventure was just beginning. As I drove through the night, my mind kept circling back to everything that had happened. The impossible room, the writhing symbols, Jennings' mad ravings about ancient beings and torn veils between worlds. It all seemed something out of a fever dream, but the ache in my bones and the chill in my soul told me that it was all too real. I'd been driving for hours, no real destination in mind, when I noticed something strange. The road signs I was passing by didn't make sense. Towns I had never heard of, distances that seemed to shift and change each time I looked at them. I glanced down at my GPS, but the screen was nothing but static. A sense of unease crept over me as I realized I had no idea where I was. The landscape outside my window had changed too, the familiar rolling hills of Mississippi replaced by twisted, gnarled trees that seemed to claw at the sky. I slowed the truck, peering out into the darkness. That's when I saw it. A figure standing at the other side of the road. As I drew closer, my headlights illuminated a small girl, her skin covered in familiar glowing symbols. My blood ran cold. It was her, the girl from Jennings' trailer. I slammed on the brakes, the truck skidding to a stop just feet from where she stood. She turned to face me, a smile playing on her lips that was far too knowing for a child.
"Hello, Jebediah,"
she said, her voice carrying clearly despite the distance between us.
"We've been waiting for you."
I reached for my gun, but before I could draw it, the world around me began to shift and twist. The symbols on the girl's skin seemed to come alive, crawling across the road and up into the sky. Reality itself seemed to be bending, warping into impossible ways. In that moment, I understood. The pattern hadn't just been completed. It had been shattered. And in doing so, we had torn down the walls between our world and something else. As the chaos swirled around me, I made a decision. I gunned the engine, my truck lurching forward towards the girl. She didn't move, that eerie smile never leaving her face. Just before impact, I closed my eyes and whispered a prayer. There was a deafening crash, a flash of blinding light, and then silence. When I opened my eyes, I was back in Yazoo City, my truck parked outside the sheriff's office. The sun was just starting to rise, painting the sky in shades of pink and gold. I looked down at my hands, half expecting to see them covered in blood or worse, but they were clean, unmarked. Had it all been a dream? Some kind of hallucination brought by stress and lack of sleep? I stumbled out of the truck and into the sheriff's office. Buford was there, looking surprised to see me. "Jim, what are you doing here so early?" I opened my mouth to tell him everything about Jennings, the pattern, the girl, but the words wouldn't come. Instead, I heard myself say, "Just wrapping up some paperwork on the Jennings case, Sheriff. It's all over now." And somehow I knew it was true. Whatever dark forces had been at work, whatever cosmic horror we had narrowly avoided, it was done. The pattern had been broken, the danger averted. As I sat down at an empty desk, I felt a weight lift from my shoulders. I was just a bounty hunter from Mississippi, nothing more. And that was enough. The world kept on turning, blissfully unaware how close it had come to unraveling. And me? I had a job to do. Bad guys to catch and a normal life to live. Some mysteries I realized are better left unsolved. Some patterns are meant to remain incomplete. And with that thought, I picked up a pen and got back to work, leaving the darkness behind me once and for all.